We're just happy, so pleased with the presence of the Lord in this place. It's real special. Would you give every one of these, one packet each? Calvin's handing out some things, and this is something we're going to do later. And it's several things in order, so don't open them right now. We'll look at them later. And as we go along, I just want you to have them in your hands. I just praise God for his presence here. It's so sweet and just wonderful, the anointing and the presence of the Lord. I received a prophetic word from Cindy Jacobs this morning that she sent out to the body of Christ, but I'm going to read part of it to us because I just feel like it's fresh and new. As I have been seeking the Lord for a word to encourage your heart, this is what I received. This is a higher season. There is such an anointing on those words, a higher season. Many people reach a place in their lives where they get stagnant, but the Lord would say to you, I don't wish you to be stagnant. I want you to be ever advancing my kingdom. I want you to be ever advancing in your destiny. Some of my children reach a place of spiritual stagnation. You are not growing personally. You're not growing in your destiny. You're not growing towards a destiny. And you just say, well, that's all there is. And the Lord's really speaking to me very strongly, even for retirees. The Lord has given you a time of positioning to a new level. You're not to be stagnant saying, I'm going to retire and just do anything I want. Now, I know that may not seem like good news to some of you, but the Lord says, I want you to be productive. I made you to be productive. God wants to use his children as long as they're on this earth. You know, it's just like in the kingdom, there's no such thing as retirement. We just go on. And then this was really hit my heart. The Lord also showed me that this is even a higher season for little children. In past generations, not much spiritually was expected of children because they were just little kids. But the Lord says, no, this is a higher season for children. It's a season of dreams and vision. And I believe that. I believe God wants to minister to the children. And I have seen children do amazing things in the spirit and hear the voice of the Lord. And miracles happen through children. And I know our children, Bobby, when he was 2, he had a vision of Jesus. And he would sit praying in the spirit for hours. And God, you know, little children are sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. So it's the children's time, too. It's not just our time. It's the children's time. And the Lord showed me that there's an acceleration. It's like a rocket booster. If you'll allow the Holy Spirit to come, God wants to accelerate you to a new thing. There'll be divine acceleration underneath you to cause you to go into this higher season. And I think that's all I'm going to do there. But it's like, it's not a time to back off, to relax and let it go. But it's time to move with the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I'm going to talk just about a 15-minute lesson on decreeing God's word and the power of decreeing God's word. And then we're going to be doing some workshop on decreeing God's word in our lives. We're going to all be involved. But our key scripture tonight is from Job 22, verse 28. And this is in the King James Version. And it says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. We have always taught the benefits and the power of confessing and declaring or speaking God's word over our lives. Tonight we're going to be studying and using the word decree as it carries a higher authority. Some definitions of words we use are confess. To confess means we acknowledge a belief in, or to declare means to assert positively. The word declare comes from the Hebrew, akva, meaning to make known and to set for details and informations. For example, when Calvin and I crossed the border, they say, do you have anything to declare? And then they'll ask, well, do you have any? And they're not talking about what we wish we had. They're talking about what we have with us. And and they always ask, do you have over $10,000 with you? And Calvin will tell them, well, I wish I did. But, you know, I don't. And so a declaring is not what we want to have. It's what we actually have. When we make declarations, we're making an announcement of the things that we already possess. Like, I'm born again. I'm saved by the power of Jesus. God healed me. God provided for my need. God filled me with His Spirit. God did this and this and this. And a declaration is like a testimony. And testimonies are really powerful. When we give our testimony and tell people what God did in our life, it sparks their faith to receive something from that they need in their life. And so testimonies and declarations are awesome. By contrast, decree is a legal term. We can decree something that God has promised or purposed for us that we may not be fully experiencing yet. But as we verbally agree or decree God's purposes for us, it opens the way for God's purpose to become a tangible reality in the natural realm. A decree is a tool for the fulfillment of Matthew 6:10, where Jesus said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we decree the heavenly plans that God has so that that will be happening in the natural. The Webster definition of decree is a formal order determining what is to be done or not to be done in a particular matter, a law or an ordinance, a foreordaining eternal purpose of God. A decree is more than just an announcement. A decree carries the same level of authority as a law being enacted or an order being issued by a court. When the court says this is a decreed thing, there's not an option. It's just this is the way it is. The biblical definition of decree is the same as the purpose of God. Because it's rooted in the Word of God. We must only use decrees based on the Word of God because that's the authority that we decree from. As you decree the will and purposes of God over your life, it's simple, but it's powerful. God's will and purpose for your life is abundant life, health, safety, security, peace, prosperity, success. Success in ministry, success in every, that's God's purpose. And so we can decree God's will, God's purpose over our lives. One of the Hebrew definitions of decree is to divide, to cut into, to cut off, to destroy, to separate, or exclude. The Hebrew definition shows another facet of what happens in the spirit realm when we speak decrees. We're going to look at some examples. We're going to be looking at Psalms 112, verse 1. And it says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. When we decree, I am blessed because I fear or because I reverence or in awe of God, not only are we establishing the blessing, but according to the Hebrew definition of decree, we're also dividing ourselves away from anything purposed against our blessing. And we are cutting off and destroying the plans of the enemy. We're going to go on to Psalms 112:2, and it says, his descendants will be mighty, and that word means strong, champions, brave on earth. And this is the righteous man that fears the Lord. His descendants will be strong, champions, brave on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So when we decree that our children are mighty, we divide our children's strengths from their weaknesses. That decree not only decrees the blessing, but it divides anything that's against that blessing off of them. Amen. And then we're going on down to Psalms 112, verse 3. And it says, wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So when we decree wealth and riches are in my house, not only do we establish our wealth with the authority of a court order, decreeing it with the same authority as the decreed will and purpose of God, but we also cut off spirits of and destroy poverty spirits off of us. Because God has blessed us. He's promised to bless us. We decree that we have that blessing, and that decree, it divides anything that would come against that blessing that God has intended for us. Amen. The decrees we speak institute and establish the reign of the kingdom of heaven, and it cuts off the reign of the kingdom of darkness. Here, I'm going to give some different definitions of decrees or what it is. Decrees are bold statements of truth, vision, and purpose. Decrees carry the authority of a court order so that anything opposed to the truth decreed has no further say. Decrees separate, divide, and set you apart for the kingdom of heaven. Decrees cut off and destroy anything purposed against you. Decrees cut off and destroy anything purposed against God's blessings for you. Decrees impose an irrefutable defeat upon the enemy. Decrees renew your mind. They change your atmosphere. They create an open heaven that will go with you everywhere. Decrees propel you into your destiny. When you decree what God has said about you, it just changes everything because you're coming in agreement with God's will for your life. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit. There's a thing in the world that's called positive affirmations. It's being big in the New Age movements and spiritualism. What we call decrees, they're calling positive affirmations. And they came into being in the 1960s, and the New Age spiritualism with the concept that everyone's able to access their inner human power source. Humanism teaches that you are the one able to control your world, that you are your own power source for the effectiveness of your positive affirmations. In the end, humanism-related New Age philosophies all say that we are gods. They worship themselves. And this is really very dangerous. We're going to read a couple of scriptures about it. Isaiah 53:6, it says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. So the people that's doing the positive affirmations, they're doing it out of themselves. You know, they're not doing it in God's name and decreeing what he says. And so they have left God's path to follow their own. Then Romans 1:25 says, they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. So as believers, it's real important to draw a boundary between what's biblical and what's not, so that we can activate biblical principles and promises. The difference in those that's involved in humanism or Christians that's decreeing God's word is, who are we putting our trust in? Are we putting our trust in what we can do, or are we putting our trust in God? You know, our you know, we're not decreeing this out of ourselves. We are decreeing what God said about it and agreeing with it. And God is our power source, not us. And so that's the difference. We're going to read the power out of the scripture, the power source for decrees. Jeremiah 1:12, this is amplified, says, "For I, God, am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." So when we put voice to God's word, he's there ready to perform his word that we're putting voice to. He listens for his word, and then he goes into action to perform it when we speak it out. And then Psalms 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word." So angels have been given direction from God that when people speak the word of God, they go into action to help bring it to forth. So when we speak God's word, decree God's word in our lives, God's on it. He's on it because he stands by his word to perform it. And the angels are on it, are the spiritual host that's all around us in the heavenly realm. They're there to help bring it to pass. Hallelujah. These two scriptures take the pressure off of us. We are simply responsible to agree with God's word and speak it out. And when we do that, two things happen. God goes to work and the angels go to work. We're not commanding God or the angels. Rather, God's already established life and joy and peace, health, unity, harmony, abundance, prosperity, and he's already established that for us. So when we agree with it, things begin to go into motion to bring it to pass. Amen. We come into agreement with his word and his blessings for us. We're going to read Isaiah 55:11, and it says, "It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." So when we speak God's word, it says it always produces fruit. Always produces fruit. And it will accomplish what that word was set out to do. It'll happen. And Romans 10:9 shows us a clear example of how to activate a promise of God. It says, "If you confess with your mouth that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And in the message, it says, it's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for you. So when we speak the word, that word of faith, God goes to work for us. In order to enjoy the benefit of being saved, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If it were not necessary to activate the promise of salvation, everybody all over the world would just automatically go to heaven. But we know that that's not so. People have to confess the Lord, acknowledge the Lord, and they have to believe in their heart. Well, that's the same formula that activates all of God's promises to us. We have to say it with our mouth and confess it with our mouth and believe it in our heart. The promise of God, the promise of salvation must be activated, and all of the promises of God are activated the same way. Back to our original scripture, Job 22:28 says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." When we speak decrees, we're creating an open heaven so that heaven comes down to earth. This means that the truths of heaven become our natural experience and reality on the earth. The phrase kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are translate the sphere where God reigns and rules. Does God rule and reign in our hearts and our lives? Then we're in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Decrees based on the word of God call us into alignment and agreement with Him and His will. It renews our mind, it changes our atmosphere, and it brings heaven to earth. It's important to speak God's word. It says because when we speak God's word out loud, it activates our faith. And it's important to read God. Sometimes it's important to read God's word aloud, because when we read it aloud, when we speak it aloud, it brings it to life to us. It's just like it activates our faith to receive what we're seeing and understand it better. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." When you decree God's word, you're speaking truth, and truth will correct your thinking. You'll direct your attention to the answer instead of the problem. Speaking God's word out loud refocuses you on God instead of the problem, and knowing that God can handle everything. He's big enough to take care of it all. Hallelujah. We're gonna do some of the exercises that I put together tonight. And Martine, did you get one of the packets of? You did. Okay. We're gonna start with the first one, and it was interesting. I had got a prophetic word from a pastor Lim. He's a Korean pastor in Los Angeles this morning, and it just kind of went along with what I was teaching, so I just printed it out, and I'm going to read the scripture, and then we are going to decree it together. I want everyone to say it together, and so we're going to follow your paper there, the first one that's on the top, and I'm going to read Deuteronomy 28:13, and it says, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath." Okay, I decree that I am the head and not the tail. The Lord is my God, is bringing me up, and is turning things around in my life. I will be ahead of the rest, and I will be coming up in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." I decree and declare that I'm about to taste and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm about to taste of the sweetness of the Lord. He is turning all of my bitter into sweet. I will fully experience the promises of his word. Amen. And then Proverbs 6:31, and it's talking about the thief. And we know the devil is a thief. The enemy is a thief. He tries to steal from us. And here in Proverbs 6:31, it says, "Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house." Okay. I decree a restoration of all that was lost and stolen from me and my family. Whatever the thief tried to take from my finances, my health, my ministry, and my business, I take it back now, and I receive my restoration today in Jesus' name. I decree a spirit of restitution to take over in Jesus' name. The enemy will pay back seven times over and even more. I decree and declare that I am ready to receive the restitution and the honor that is for the shame and for the arbitration. Amen. Revelation 21:5 says, then he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I decree a renewing and a renewal of all things. I am coming into the new. The Lord is making me new, for I am a new creation. I am coming into a new shift and alignment with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. 2 Samuel 5:20. It says, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. I decree that I am entering into the best year of my life yet. This is going to be my year. I am going to have the best times of my life and the most outlandish encounters and experiences with the Holy Spirit. I decree that I am entering into the greatest breakthrough of all. I will shout and praise aloud of the works of the Lord. He had sent an article before this, and this is the Jewish New Year. Jewish year is just starting right now, and so this was about I'm breaking into the new right now. Amen. Now our next decrees are going to be about healing, forgiveness, and well-being. And we've already read Job, so we're not going to read that. But I'm going to read Isaiah 53:4-5. And it says, surely he, speaking of Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, in the Hebrew that's shalom, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. I decree that Jesus bore my anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, and sickness. He took away my pain and sorrow. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Amen. I decree I walk in his shalom, safety, health, prosperity, peace, and wholeness. I decree I am safe and protected from all harm. I decree I live in health, prosperity, and peace. I decree I am healed and thoroughly made whole in my spirit, my soul, my will, mind, and emotions, and my body. I have a healthy cardiovascular system, digestive system, nervous system, endocrine system, respiratory system, and skeletal system. My organs are healthy. I have good eyesight and hear well. Amen. And then Jesus said this to his followers. He gave them a command, and he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And now I decree, because I'm born again into God's kingdom and have freely received salvation, I can heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. That's who we are. Amen. Amen. That's who God created us to be and gave us the power and the anointing. Hallelujah. His anointing is upon us. And we need to be aware of his anointing. And something about spending time praying out loud, talking out loud, reading his word, it transforms our mind to where we know who we really are in Christ. Who are we? We're his. We're his ambassadors here on this earth. We're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the army of God. Hallelujah. And that's powerful and it's important. And by reading God's word and declaring God's word, it transforms our mind and changes our atmosphere where we can make a difference in this world. Amen. We're going to go over the next one. It's promises for children. I'm going to start in Acts 2:17. And it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And then Isaiah 44:3-4, for I will pour out my water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Amen. Isaiah 59:21 says, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and on your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. Amen. So when we are born again, we have a right for our children to follow the Lord as well. Amen. Psalms 112:1-3 says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So we're going to decree this together. I decree the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out on my children. They listen to the voice of the Spirit and are obedient. They prophesy and see visions from God. My children are following God's plan and purpose for their life. They are like the sons of Issachar and have understanding of the times they are living in and know their position and purpose within these times. They take pleasure in God's word and meditate on it continually. They walk in integrity and love. They have favor with God and man. They are blessed with good health, with prosperity, and good friends. They are blessed to be a blessing. They are leaders and trendsetters, changing the culture for God's glory. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my kids. Amen. God's using our children. And I've been blessed this last few years to watch the kids in the Bible Club. They have changed the culture of the high school. There's a change that wasn't there before. And I believe it's going to get stronger and mightier. And when we went to Soul Harvest Friday night, I was just amazed at how many young people were there, and they were all Bible Club kids. But it was like they were really seeking the Lord, and they're on fire for God. And it's just amazing. It's awesome. And our children, our natural children and our spiritual children are going to change the culture for God's glory. Amen. Amen. They're going to be powerful in the earth and blessed. Hallelujah. I just see all kinds of awesome, powerful, wonderful things happening with God's children. And with the young people, I really feel there's going to be a revival start in Douglas with the youth. And it's going to grow like wildfire. It's going to multiply. It's going to explode. And there's going to be, you're going to begin to move in signs and wonders and miracles. God's going to tell you, you're going to walk up to a young person and you're going to know that they're thinking of committing suicide. And nobody knows it but them. And when you tell them, it's going to awe them because they'll say, nobody even knew I was thinking about that. But it will be a sign to them that's going to draw them to Jesus. And there's going to be some signs and wonders that's going to happen that's going to shake the high school. There's going to be physical miracles take place that everyone will know. Nobody could have done this but God. Nobody. This is, and they'll realize there's no high like the Most High. God's big. He's awesome. He's powerful. And we're going to see it more and more. And I'm just excited. You know, it's like there's something cooking in the spirit. I just know it. There's something happening in the spirit. Something happening here. And I'm just so blessed about it. Amen. We're going to go on to provision. Philippians 4:19 says, God will provide all of my needs according to the riches of his glory, which are ours in Christ Jesus. Does God say he provides our need according to our own abilities, according to how smart we are or how talented we are? No. He said he supplies our needs according to his riches in glory. And they're ours in Christ Jesus. So I decree God meets my needs according to his riches in glory. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So I decree, because I seek God's kingdom first, everything I need is drawn to me like a magnet. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I decree, by God's grace, I have everything I need and an abundance to give unto every good work. I am a generous, joyous giver. And then this is started out in Psalms 24:1, but it says, the earth, I decree the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The mountains with their caves, the caves with their treasures, the meadows with their trees, the trees with their fruit, the land with its pasture, the pastures with their cattle, the soil with its seeds, the seeds with their crops, the silver and gold, and all the precious gems and minerals, the entire sphere of creation and all it contains belongs to my poppy. It belongs to my daddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm an inheritor. I'm a child of the King. And I'm there as an inheritor of all the things that the Lord has. You know, the devil may think he has the wealth and he has the gold and he has this, but there's going to come a day in the last days, and we could go into it about how God is going to give the wealth of the riches, the wicked to the righteous. And it's just part of the great revival that's coming, that's just upon us. And we're going to see an abundant provision with all of the other revival. Hallelujah. The next one is Psalms chapter 1. And I'm going to read 1 through 3, and then down to verse 6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. Okay, I decree I am blessed at all times, because I delight and take pleasure in God's word. I meditate on his word continually. I do not pay attention to what unrighteous people say, nor do I walk in their way. I am not sarcastic, nor I make fun of others. That was a tongue twister. I'm sorry. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I am strong and well fed. I bear fruit in season. My leaves do not wither, but are always healthy. I prosper in everything I do. My marriage prospers, my children prosper, my business prospers, my finances prosper. The Lord knows my ways, for my ways are His ways. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to read Psalms 112, 1 through 4, and then verse 9. This is a paraphrase, but it says, "Praise the Lord. We are blessed and joyful because we reverence the Lord and delight in obeying Him. Our children will be successful and mighty everywhere. An entire generation of people will be blessed because of them. Wealth and riches will be in our house. We and our children will be a light shining in the darkness. We are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Our good deeds will be remembered forever. We will have influence and honor." Amen. I know in my own personal reading time, like when I read Psalms 91, I make it personal. I make it, and me, I say, I dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, you know. And it's good sometimes to the scriptures that's promises, read them out loud and make them personal. This is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. It's mine. And when we read it out loud to ourselves, it just helps us to really get it in our spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Omar, just feel, we're supposed to pray for you tonight. I don't know what God wants to do, but God wants to bless you, and He wants to open some doors before you. Can you come? Calvin, would you come help me pray? Hallelujah. I just feel that Calvin, Mitch, Nina, anybody that wants to come.